read that for years. And I thought, gee, it was everything. There was no figs on that tree. You go. But I read that sometimes after the leaves come out, a few figs are hanging on.
Of course, he was talking about the nation of Israel. And we dropped down and picked up the journey. Of course, we went to the temple and we asked the money changers, come to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree tied up from the roof. And Peter, calling to him, prayer from the bad foot, behold the fig tree, which thou cursedst get away from the wind. Jesus answering, prayer from the man, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I looked in my Bible, and it says, faith is confidence in the testimony of another. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We pray by faith. We resist evil by faith. We overcome the world by faith. We die in faith. And we stand fast in faith. We need to work to be strong and bound in faith. Be grounded in faith. Hold fast to faith. Pray for increase of faith. Have an assurance of faith. Faith is important in your life and mine. God has got a plan for everything. Everybody. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for this church. And he's got it all in hand. He's got a plan for this world. I know it looks like that it's the run away. It looks like it does, it's not. The Psalm 76, the circle of life. He's got everything. He's looking down. He's got all the rumors. He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan for evangelism, for mission, for the Lord's Supper, feet worship, for evangelism. Supporting the church. God has all we need. How do we do it? Just faith in God. Faith. Unbelief shuts out the promises of God. With faith, we receive the promises of God. Faith will cause you to say, it's worth the blackboard pages. It's a bill. You send, but no, I can't send. He said, you talk to him, too. I said, I told you to do this. I don't agree with it. But you ever stood beside of me, just to do it for others, with a mom's wife, she had said, I don't want, I was beside of her one night. And after church, she told me this, she said, I heard you say one Blind George Madsen, as the doctor said, you're going to die. What can his fiance? He should kill his own self. And he went home. He was all alone. And he will not rest his body. There is Halsey, who some 9,000 got $2 of your share of y'all. Moving and psyche paid her rent for her living. She said, don't feel sorry for me. The first man I see will be Jesus. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Blessed assurance. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Brother Ken Hopkins, so you know it, it's Eagle Tuesday. Used to work in a furniture factory in Morristown. Went to work one morning, before daylight, had a flat dog. And he went to check, he didn't have a time, nor a jack, nor a staff. But he got the old tar that was flat. Sat down and rev back, give her anything, he walked the hill. And it was in the sand. No, he didn't get the tar, but he woke the neighbors, and he got the tar. My granddaddy on my daddy's side gave daddy 40 acres on the back side of his farm. No building, no well, nothing. They cut down walls with a cross-cut saw that doubled their length. With a team of horses, they pulled them to certain spots. And they dug holes. They put steel rocks. And they had a neighbor they called a halfway. They notched them and they laid along them. They chipped them with a red clay mud. When Daddy got enough money, he bought sheetrock and stacked it up. I just a little boy. He are an old man around the wrist when he was John Hardy. Had a big stiff mustache, wore his glasses on down on the end of his nose, kept his carpenter pistol under the tip of his glass. He sang and whistled all day long. I don't think you carpenters ever hung sheetrock in a log house at all. He had to stab it. He had to cut knots off. It was uneven. But he never threw down his hammer. He never stumped his foot. He never turned red behind his ears. He just sang. When I was a big boy, I found out why he was singing. Salvation will cause you to sing. Faith will help you to serve God. It did Noah when the world was against him. And he served God. Moses served God and his generation. Joshua served God. Gideon served God. And you can serve God and I can serve God if we trust in the Lord and have faith in it. Faith will supply the need. I picked up some books the other day, and out of itself, little thin paperback book, John W. Stout, North Valley Parkway, Montana. The judge, the lawyer, the holy preacher, the man with the big ears, had 12 sermons in it. John Sullivan built North Verity Parkway, Philadelphia Tabernacle, during the Second World War. He'd come to the plumbing, and it was one part he missed. They couldn't go on. They had to have it. He went down to the hardware store. stand still and call upon one, that I need so-and-so part. The boy behind the counter was the seven that had it. And he said, we don't have it. Well, he said, we do have it. But we're saving it for a contract. Brother Sullivan said, that leaves me with the one alternative. And that's the price. And he called up the bar stool and knelt down. And the man said, hold it, preacher. You can have the bar. Never said a word, but he faith in God. In that same church, there was a lady stood one night, her name is Sister Sharp. Her husband worked in a factory, and his job was terminated. In the rule of that plant, you couldn't bid on a job outside of your department. But somebody comes to Brother Sharp and says, there's a job open in another department. He said, that don't affect me. I can't bid on it. I'm not in a department. He said, you're laid off. You're going to lose your job. He ain't got nothing to lose. Go bid on it. He bid on it. And the church was a party. And the foreman said, it's against the rules of the factory that you got the job. Faith in God was the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, most of you can quote it. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, for yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? That doesn't mean to sit down and twirl your hands. Don't plant a garden. Don't plant a field. But that means don't get frustrated. Don't get worried about God going to take care of you and supply your every need. Why? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Golconda, Illinois, down in southern Illinois. Little farm and stuff. A lot of black folks there. You ever been to this place called Bonnaw? There's a cross that a man erected can be seen in the fall when the leaves off for miles and miles. They had an Easter service. They were going in the community asking for funds to build that cross. They came to this old black farmer. Said, would you like to contribute? He said, yes, sir, I would. But he said, I just had an old style with 9 pigs. I just stopped it. Instead of your price, that I can raise them pigs, that I'll donate one. About that time, an old black and tan jumped over the fence and adopted them 9 pigs and raised them. And he gave one to the Holocaust. God can supply the need. He can take the black and tan. When the world is against you, thank God, God will stand for you. Martin Luther stood, said, if every signal on the roof was the devil, I'll stand, so help me God. Job, the wise, said, curse God and die. You speak as a foolish one. Does not the Lord give, and the Lord takes away. Brother Hill, the black preacher that preached his wife's funeral, he said, we like it when he gives, but then we don't like it when he takes away. But God's the same whether he takes away or whether he gives. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:24, for by faith ye stand. Brother Wayne Wright said during the Second World War, when the German bombers were crossing the English Channel, they had a blackout in England, and down in the tunnel,
in a dungeon, and the lights were turned off. Somebody wrote, "I believe in the sun when it don't shine. I believe in love when it's not felt. I believe in God when he's silent. Faith in God." Elijah on Mount Carmel stood with God, but he stood firm when God entered. Paul in the storm, 14 days and nights. No sun, no moon, no stars. And he come out with a lot of a lesser heard that. Not a hair of your head is going to be lost. We're going to make it. Take a little bit. Eat. Thank God. We were in Bristol, Virginia, 10 years ago. Brother Tim, and what he said, saying it. Can't think of it. But anyway, when he got there, there's nobody there. So I looked around, there was a trailer on the side of the hill. So I thought, that's where we're supposed to go. I went up there, and I had to stand up on the lower side, be down on the upper side. Some of you trailer pullers know what I'm talking about. I just got hooked up and pulled it up. When somebody added, there's a level spot right around back to church, I've been hooked up, I'm not going to move. I was in the church one day, a storm came, and it came suddenly, and I couldn't get out. I looked out the window. It was a big oak tree, all over this church, and they began to sway, and me, they began to bow before God. I could see my wife in that little eastern picture, rocking at a wheel, and I bowed. But you know what? Those oak trees, they had this way. They had a pathway that went. That's what we need, is have faith in God. Faith will give us a victory. 1 John 4 and 4 and 5, 5, 4 and 5, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, even your faith. This is the victory, even your faith. As the brother Burl W. Bond, years ago, Union Road Pentecostal Church, in his life. He said, "Some Adams, they're having a PFA." I said, "What do I say?" "The Pentecost, the first day, and North America." He said, "They're having a day service. Would you like to go?" He said, "Raymond Spain is a sister. I never heard of him. I never heard of PFA. But I went. I don't remember his sermon, but I remember a couple things he told. But he pastored in North Carolina. That used horse and mule to fuck with. That his superintendent worked for this man. His superintendent told him that he had a peach orchard. Yeah. They were loaded. He said, boys, he said, boys, what are those peach trees? They're brittle. They'll break. He said, they had a big old dinner bell. They used it for dinner and emergencies. He said, he was down the plow and the bell began to ring. What did he do? So they knew it was an emergency. They wrapped the lines of the plow, headed for the house. Sure enough, one of the boys across peach tree fell out and broke his arm. Said you could see the jagged edges under the skin. Said the wife was saying, "Dad, get the car started. We need to take this boy to a doctor." Now he said, "Mom, just quiet down. We don't need a doctor. We need God." Said God gave us this boy. God made him. Said that's what we need. Said they had a big old round kitchen table with oil cloth on it. And the old farmer took that boy with his arm on that oilcloth on the table, reached up and got that big broad rim straw hat, laid it to side, lifted big calloused hands toward God, said, "God, you can use this boy." Said he reached down, got him both sides to break, and you could hear it pop as it went back together. Said he turned that boy around his hand and give him a swat where a boy ought to be swatted, and said, "Stay out of that peach tree." Said it back, he hooked the line around his neck, went down through the field, a talking in tongues up on the field. Said in that church, a lady, when X-rays was first coming in, said she had a hurt in her chest. They took her to the doctor, the X-ray, a tumor. So they cut her open. When they got her open, the tumor wasn't here. He was in the back. The rep sent her home. 3 days, you come back to the hospital. We'll cut you in the back. We'll take the tumor out. So she said early that morning she was to go. She knew the routine. Don't eat after midnight. Drink. Said God woke her up. said, get your Bible. Read every miracle that I perform. Said she read about blinded eyes being opened, deaf ears unstopped, lame legs being straightened, her hands being straightened out. Said when the taxi came, she was seat, going down the road, she was reciting, blinded eyes, withered hands, lame legs. Said she got to the hospital. They put her in a bed. The doctor come in. Said, as my custom, we got your X-rays. But before operation, we asked her again. After what it meant, two sheets of paper. She said, I don't understand. I don't understand. She said, doctor, what is it you don't understand? Said, you see that? You see that dark spot? That's you. That's a tumor. You see this? That's you. It's gone. It's not there. Well, she said, doc, I understand. Said, I've been educating my faith. Did you ever, Dick, somebody come in? Said, I uncle had that, and they died. I know somebody, they never recover. Oh, but get somebody, walk to the door, and say, God, my God, if he can take care of that. Yes, sir. Brother Glenn Butler got saved before he got married. He raised $5 in Indiana, off the church, led singing for years, taught the dog Bible class for 50 years. Him and his father was in business together. When they had that big cake size, weighed 300 pounds. Glenn broke one on his foot. Broke. Said it was black as blue. And he said, we missed the homecoming. But he was with his shoe up on a bottom chair. The brother came up. Said, Brother Glenn, you have never missed the homecoming. But he said, I've got to miss this one. I can't walk. Said, you don't have to, we're going to carry you. They picked him up, cane bottom chair, or took him, put him on the front seat, and propped him up. During the service, old Brother Henry Skinner, the pastor, said, let's pray for him. Said, the church gathered around and began to pray. He said, I don't touch God, but somebody did. The Lord touched him. He stepped all over the front of the church. They put him on the altar, made him pull his feet and stop off and show him. I mean, there was no blueness. There was dwelling. God healed him. His father-in-law, well, it was Christ. And somebody said, him got healed. He said, I don't have a bad foot. He never missed that God healed him. But he went to the next day. God healed him. Rich Gilbert Town camp meeting one time. I think it was the last year they had it in the old tabernacle. People come from prophets themselves. Sister, two daughters. She had cancer. Like Rich, when the girls were real, she said, God, only thing I ask is lived to raise my girl. At that time, they were growing, and she was healthy. I had touched her. God healed. God, faith can heal the sick. My wife. And I killed her. We was married 3 years. She become expected mother. We lived in a depot village. One Dr. Norton, he was young. And he said, let me, of course. I took my wife three times. Her pain farther apart instead of close. And they finally did a thing. And the baby was dead for months. She like at a Job. She wasn't a place that the Lord gives, and the Lord takes it away. She fretted and cried and stewed to a nervous breakdown. She had shock treatment. One time, she collapsed in our home church. She sent for me, said, give me up. I said, come on. She said, okay. The devil had her to move. She couldn't get up. And she was quite as heavy, and I was a little heavy. And I reached down and picked her up. Across my shoulder, down the aisle. The pastor right by said, Bill, take it apart. I said, but you don't understand. I've seen her like this. It'll be 2 weeks. Said, do as I tell you. Take her over to the house. I laid her on the couch. He went back to church, got about a dozen. We prayed for about an hour, bombarded him. That's how the Lord stood up and looked for her and said, devil, you have tormented that girl long enough. Take your hands off. And God healed her. She was so weak, we gave her hot chocolate through a straw. But she went home, right? And she's been gone ever since. There's a revival someplace, and the ladies at the party, they had one contest, carried the most beads on her nose. Across the floor, she got first. Her nurse is good. Thank you, God. God heals. God heals. God heals. The Bible says that it has that purified by faith. Thank God that we can be pure through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. The Bible said by faith. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. Galatians said that the law is the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Aren't you glad to be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Faith saved. We're not saved by works, but we're saved by faith. That not of ourselves, but of God. He'll save us from trouble. He'll save us from all. He'll save us from all torment. George Mueller had 300 children three times. He wouldn't allow them to listen. No advertising. I read one morning, they went, not one bite in the house. He said, children, quit. The bread truck went down the road. Quit. Wouldn't go. Fries. Knock on the door. Man said, Mr. Me, my truck quit. By the time I get pulled in and fixed, the bread's going to be. And we don't sell the bread. Could you use a bread? He said, yes, sir. And he put the bread. A little bit, milk truck went down the road. Wheel run off. And they couldn't get the wheel. So he came up and knocked on it. And Mr. Mueller, I got a truck milk that needs to be disposed. Can you use the truck load of milk? Yes. Yeah. They had bread and milk. Faith in God. Somebody said, Mr. Mueller, what is faith? He said, simply believing what God wrote. And I do not have, I'm a monopoly on the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We get it by reading, preaching. At his word. Where the boy said, God said it, and I believe it. And that God loves you. He loves me. And he's concerned about you. And he's concerned about me. Faith will save the lost. We saw that. He saw it the night before. Thank God for somebody in a camp meeting. Preach to the lost. We're preaching to the saints, and we're gone. And you know, down here in Florida, well, if you're still living or not, it's the best preacher. Down around Palatka, we used to have tent meetings. He preached a homeless man. Oswald Smith pastored People's Church in Calcutta. Used to have him for revival. He'd preach one revival. And Oswald J. Smith said, Brother Daniels, I'm glad for you to come preach me a revival. Preach the one this year. He said, that don't preach. I want you to preach. He said, didn't you dispose a revival with so and so? He said, yes, I did. He said, you think it's the proper time? He said, yes. Well, he said, I don't feel like coming, but I've got confidence in you. I'll come. Well, you and I had been a big meeting. Up until Friday night, only been 50 late. And one night he went out to church, discouraged. We're praying. And he stopped. He listened. He's come from up. And he found a stairway. And he went upstairs about young people on their knees. And they said, Brother Daniels, we're discouraged. But said, we're praying. It's going to turn out all right. Friday night, youth night. And somebody made a big game. Zoom soccer, hockey. And by that, it was pouring down rain. He said, there won't be nobody there. But when he got to church, the church was filled. When it took up the room, he said, the young people out, motion, put on. He said, it never happened before or since. But walked to that podium, like a thin hand got under me and lifted me up. I preached and gave an altar, and 252 young people saved in that one faith in God. Faith, Peter. But he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, and this morning, this up a tree. And Jesus said, make haste and come down. I'm going to eat dinner with you. Salvation has come to my house. Thank God. I was home. I'm back. And I was sitting there. And I reached on the bookshelf. Red thin book. Reached and pulled it down. Had remarkable happenings. On page 100. Down the bypass north in Nashville, you see Gallatin Pike. Well, Nashville was a little village. And out about 10 miles, the Crockett's lived. Good family. Went to church. Loved the Lord. Had two boys. One named Wesley, the youngest, and one named Daniel. And Daniel said, I want to be a lawyer. So his daddy said, okay, we'll send you to law school. They sent him to Scott University. Nashville, Tennessee. During the course, he got the wrong crowd. I don't know what he'd done, but he was too embarrassed to go home. And he'd become a hobo, a vagabond. Wesley said, I want to be a preacher. So they sent him to school. And the daddy died. And a mortgage on the farm. And they evicted Mrs. Crockett and Wesley. So they went into town, and she said, there'll be some way you get in that school. Write the president and ask him if you can work your way through. He got a letter back, said yes. But you can't live on the campus. You're going to live off the campus. An old log house next to campus. She said, we'll move in that, and I'll take in worships and artists. So Wesley started school, and the same thing happened to him. Got the wrong crowd. Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Seat about 1,000 people with a balcony. It was in revival. It was full from stem to stern. Rich people, poor people, scoffers, mockers, believers, and seekers. And two vagabonds came in. Come testimony time. And the oldest stood up. And when he started, he stammered and stuttered. But the longer he talked, the more fluent he was. And he told you what I told you. He said, I've become a hobo. He said, the other night, we were sitting around a campfire. He said, a young man come by the bushes. And he said he had food under his arm. He said, I liked him right off, especially because he had food. But said there was something about him that I liked. Said we cooked, we ate. Said we was trying to outdo the other, telling stories. Said I started first. Yeah, the old man wanted me to be a lawyer, but said I fooled him. And the young fellow that come out of the bushes said, what's your name? Said, my name's Crockett. We said, that's amazing. Said, my name's Crockett. Said, I had an older brother. Said, what's your first name? He said, Daniel. He said, I'm Wesley. And they hugged and they cried and all the hobos left. And Wesley had enough the word of God. He said, Daniel, we're prodigals. We're renegades. We have sinned against God. We need to repent and get right with God. And they did. And he said, we have sinned against Dad and against Mom, and we need to go home and make things right. Instead, they went to the old cabin and knocked on the door. Nobody home. They went to the neighbor, seen Mrs. Crockett. Yeah, said she comes in every once in a while. Said she was looking for God's lost sheep. Said, if your boys come home, said, tell them that Mom is looking for them. when Daniel got through, Wesley got up, began to tell his story. Said, I told him, yeah, the old man wanted to make a preach out of me. But said, I fooled him. But said, while I was talking, there was an old lady with a faded dress come through the back door and sat down. And said, when I finished, and said, we got saved. Said, she jumped down the aisle, hollered, glory to God, my boys are saved. And started down the aisle, said, we hugged her neck, we apologized, said there was an altar call that men and women got saved that had never been saved in that Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven can save the vilest sinner through faith in him, just simply believing what the Word of God said. Faith in God, faith in God, faith in God, faith in God. Believe what the Word of God says.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord.